Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, the 16th of January. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. I am sitting here freezing, and I'm hoping that my blood pressure will go up this evening as I do this show and maybe warm me up a little bit. It's cold, ladies and gentlemen. I'm literally sitting here with a scarf wrapped around my neck. It is cold, cold, cold. Well, folks, we had a very interesting show last night. We were joined again by Arian from California. And unfortunately, I had to bid a final farewell to Arian because I discovered, and I think those who sent me emails about the program would tend to agree, that the conversations with Arian tend to be very, very circular, and they tend to basically be Arian saying that he is not allowed to say what he wants to say, and that people ignore his questions, and that people talk over him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, I've always tried to let everybody on this program, even if they disagree with me, I've tried to allow them to say what they have to say, but when it turns into absolute nonsense, when it turns into nothing more than that, I don't feel compelled to try to allow, quote-unquote, every point of view to be heard. We also had a call last night from Dave from Massachusetts, who is one of my favorite callers. He calls in very regularly, and I always enjoy to hear what Dave has to say. I got an email from someone today who's very upset that Dave has been criticizing some of Jack McLam's theological points of view as they impact upon Jack's commentary in his broadcast here on RBN. Now, as I've said, I think Jack McLam's a good guy. He's done a lot of good work. I haven't heard Jack McLam's particular broadcast where he has made the comments that so exercised Dave. But as I said, you know, this person who wrote in complained that Dave was viciously attacking Jack McLam. Now, in what I heard of Dave calling in on this program, and I think I did hear him call in perhaps on Hashem Talawi's program criticizing Jack McLam, I would not say that Dave was viciously attacking Jack McLam. Not at all. What I heard was Dave criticizing Jack's point of view, some of the things that Jack has said, and from what Dave outlined to me, again, I'm only hearing it from Dave, but I've always found Dave to be a pretty accurate accurate summarizer, so to speak, of other things that he's read that I've subsequently read, etc. I would have to say that from what I've heard, from what Dave said about what Jack has said, that I would agree with Dave and disagree with Jack. Now, the person who wrote me said, well, isn't it the job of talk show hosts to let all points of view be heard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? No, that is not the job of talk show hosts. You know, I allow a lot of people to say a lot of things in this program that I don't necessarily agree with. Sometimes I will point out that I agree with them or disagree with them. Sometimes I say nothing at all. But I do have to come to Dave's defense and say that I don't think he's been viciously attacking Jack McLam. And, you know, Jack McLam's a big boy, just as I'm a big boy, and I expect that people will disagree with me, maybe on many things, maybe on only a few things. And when I feel that I've been misquoted or something I've said has been mischaracterized, I have certainly raised comments about that, but I don't think Dave has been viciously attacking Jack McLam. Anyway, Jack can speak up for himself. He doesn't need Mike Piper to do it for him. All right, when we come back, some commentary about a phenomenon that I have indeed detected.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. And check out the Barnes Review at BarnesReview.com. Okay, folks. Now, you know, here over the last couple weeks, it's been a long, long time. I've been pounding away at this issue of, well, Jim Mars's suggestion that Zionism, forgive me, I'm so cold, ladies and gentlemen, I can't convey to you how cold I am. I've been pounding away at Jim Mars' thesis that the Nazis have taken over the U.S. government, that we have a Nazi regime, that the Bushes are really Nazis, you know. And of course, I've been talking about this absolutely fallacious theme that Adolf Hitler was Jewish and or that he was also a witting or unwitting tool of Zionism to set up a Jewish state. Now, I think I had a genuine epiphany tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in regard to what all of this confusion is about. I'll go into that in a moment, talk more about it. We have quite a few callers already lined up. But let me say this much. I did mention the other night on the Wednesday night broadcast, which many people did not hear because they thought it was a rebroadcast. Initially, what had happened Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, was that I was a little late coming to the phone. The folks at RBN did not think that I was going to be doing a live broadcast, so they started to play a rebroadcast But then I jumped in, and we were connected, and I did do a live broadcast, and we actually got quite a few phone calls, I'm pleased to see. So evidently people wanted to go ahead and listen anyway, even though they thought it was a rebroadcast. That having been said, on that broadcast, I did mention this much, that I had received some emails from people who were evidently under the impression that I felt that I had finally dispensed with this matter of Hitler as a Zionist, and that I was somehow afraid to debate Jim Condit and or Christopher John Bjerknes, who apparently seemed to be preeminent publicists for the theory that Hitler was a Zionist, or that he was a tool of the Zionists. Well, on that broadcast, folks, I said no, that quite the contrary, if people feel that way, I am fully prepared to do a full-fledged debate with Jim Condit and Christopher John Bjerknes. In other words, two against one. I feel so confident in my background on this matter and the information that I have available and my own study of this matter that I would like to do not just a one-hour debate, but a two-hour debate, and I'll ask Rick Adams if we can, so to speak, borrow his hour, which follows mine, to make it a two-hour broadcast. So I fully intend to do that. I think it's important, and if Christopher and Jim want to get together and prep themselves, I'll certainly give them a good advance time on this and make sure we can all show up at the same time and do the debate and let the listeners decide which theory is stronger. And I hate to use the term theory because that's a very misused term. It's a misunderstood term. It's a much abused term. And that brings me full circle to what I was going to be talking about here for a minute or two. And that is this, that I have come to realize, I just came to realize tonight, as I was sitting here thinking about all this, you know, I spend some time before I do the program, if I'm not taking a nap, if I am awake and getting ready for the show, I kind of think about what I'm going to talk about. And it occurred to me, ladies and gentlemen, that, in fact, although so many of us are listening to RBN and to many, many other networks and podcasts and broadcasts on the internet and reading so much of the same literature about so many things, in many respects, actually, ladies and gentlemen, we really aren't on the same page at all. We may not even be on the same side, although certainly I can tell you the Anti-Defamation League dismisses all of us. The Anti-Defamation League dismisses those who say Hitler was a Zionist just as much as it dismisses those who say Hitler wasn't a Zionist. Now, a lot of the people who proudly proclaim Hitler to be a Zionist feel that they are somehow aligning themselves against Adolf Hitler. And those who say that the Khazars are the bad Jews, they're not really Jews at all, and that the Sephardim, the Oriental Jews, so to speak, are the real Jews of the Bible, they are also dismissed by the Anti-Defamation League. But that's not the bigger point I'm here to make. I'm here to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that I think the distinction between my point of view, say that regarding Adolf Hitler and Zionism, is that my point of view is not what we would call a conspiracy theory. Those who believe that Hitler was a Zionist believe that what Hitler was doing and what Hitler's motivations were, that it was all part of a conspiracy, just as much as there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy or a conspiracy behind 9-1-1. Now, it's funny because I have written so much that people, like our caller Aryan last evening, that they dismiss as conspiracy theories. Now, Aryan says that I'm putting forth a conspiracy theory that there's a Jewish conspiracy to control the U.S. government. Well, no, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory. And what I put forth is not even to suggest that there is a Jewish conspiracy. It's just a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact that Jews are influential in the media, and through their influence in the media, they do impact upon public discourse in this country and consequently directly affect political affairs and the selection of the president and the Congress and all other manner of public officials. But it seems to me that there are a lot of people who simply are obsessed with what we can describe as the subject of conspiracy. And you know, Mark Glenn and I have talked about this, but it never really crystallized in my mind until just this evening. That is, I think, what draws the difference here. Jim Mars, the books that Jim Mars has written, for example, are all about conspiracies, all about shadowy groups, groups shadowy and not so shadowy, that are dictating public affairs from behind the scenes. And in the course of Jim Mars' books, we have the Zionists. He brings up the Zionists, and he brings up the Illuminati and various Masonic organizations, you know, a very, very interesting hodgepodge of different groups that all are, interacting together and occasionally against one another to direct the course of world affairs. Now, then I turned to my own writings. Now, my book on the JFK assassination does put a theory forth about a conspiracy. Now, I believe that my theory about this conspiracy is pretty much on the mark. People are free to agree or disagree. But then I turn to my book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. This book doesn't put forth a theory. It puts forth a thesis that there is an inordinate amount of Jewish political power in this country, that political power is flat-out political power, but that it's also media power, economic power, financial power, that taken together point towards, as I say, an inordinate amount of power. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just a flat-out enumeration of facts, which in the New Jerusalem are, I would say, about, if there were maybe 100 points that are made, 100 quotations, say, probably about 98 or 99 of them are quotations from Jewish writers outlining cold, hard facts about Jewish power in America, Zionist power in America, whatever you want to call it. Then we have my book, The Judas Goats. Now, my book, The Judas Goats, someone might say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. No, what The Judas Goats does is outlining, citing mostly mainstream sources, about the fact that Jewish groups such as the Anti-Defamation League, along with elements inside the CIA and the FBI, how they have influenced political affairs in this country by not only infiltrating political organizations to try to control them or otherwise destroy them from within, or in which they have actually created organizations to have some sort of impact for whatever motivation both organizations of the right and the left. Okay, so again, it's not a conspiracy theory. My book, The Golem, is about Israel's nuclear weapons program. It's not a theory that Israel has a nuclear bomb. It's not a conspiracy that Israel has a nuclear bomb. Israel has created a nuclear bomb because they believe that is their key to survival. So that book is not a book about a conspiracy theory. My book, Target Trafficking, about Jim Trafficking, it shows that Jim Trafficking was targeted and unfairly targeted by elements inside the Justice Department and the FBI that wanted to get rid of him for political reasons. In that sense, you might say it was a conspiracy, because when one or more people, or when people act together, that can be described as a conspiracy. But needless to say, we're dealing here with basic facts. You may not like the facts, but the fact that the facts are there doesn't make it a theory. Now, a little bit more on that when we come back. And we have quite a few callers here, so stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, talking about conspiracy theories, facts, and the apparent determination on the part of a lot of people to want to believe that everything, absolutely everything, is a conspiracy and that nothing is as it seems. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that some things are precisely as they seem to be, and that everything that has happened in our world has not been the consequence of a conspiracy. Kind of interesting, even the people who say that Adolf Hitler was a Zionist, so many of these people, really, folks, they are anti-Jewish. And yet they want to throw Adolf Hitler in the briar patch and say, well, Adolf Hitler was a Jew. I mean, you know, it never ends. Now, you know, just, you know, I often forget how many books I have written, and then I just kind of checked real quickly. Two other books that I've written, The High Priests of War, it's about the neoconservatives, or the kosher conservatives, as I like to call them. The book doesn't posit a conspiracy theory, it just simply says that like-minded people, many of whom are Jewish, but not all of them, that they have banded together to advance their agenda in the conduct of U.S. foreign policy on behalf of the State of Israel. No conspiracy theory there. And my other book, Best Witness, which is just a factual account of the struggle between self-styled Holocaust survival Mel Mermelstein and his effort to shut down Liberty Lobby and the Institute for Historical Review. Well, of course, we know the Institute for Historical Review has been eviscerated from within by Mark Weber and his handler, Andrew Allen, but that's another story for another time. But needless to say, again, the book Best Witness does not put forth any Jewish conspiracy theory. The fact is, Mel Mermelstein and a bevy of Jewish organizations, plus with covert support from behind the scenes from a powerful organization which is not known to be Jewish, but which is in fact controlled behind the scenes at its corporate level by a bunch of Jewish lawyers who are devoted to the Jewish agenda. They in fact did ally together and work relentlessly and very effectively in their campaign against Liberty Lobby and the old Institute for Historical Review. So again, you know, a friend of mine recently said to me, he said, "You've never heard a conspiracy theory that you didn't like." Well, folks, I guess that's why I've upset so many people, because I have dismissed a lot of conspiracy theories on this program and will continue to do so. And, you know, as I say, you know, Jim Mars, you know, his book, putting forth all these conspiracies, he had a book that came out before the rise of the Fourth Reich. He had another book, the title of which escapes me. Talks a lot about all these shadowy behind-the-scenes conspiracies. Doesn't mention much about Zionism, if anything at all. Title of that book escapes me, but these books by Jim Mars, you know, they're put out by major publishers, and you can go into Borders Books, and there they are, sitting right up there in the front shelves. So there are certain elements of quote-unquote conspiracy theory that are quote-unquote acceptable. But, you know, I was looking at Jim Mars' book, incidentally, the one on the rise of the Fourth Reich, and in that book he attacks three people who I admire a great deal, the late Father Charles Coughlin. Now, I know a lot of you out there don't like Catholics and consequently wouldn't like Father Coughlin, but I'm here to tell you that back in the 1930s and early 1940s, Father Coughlin was speaking out against the New World Order. Father Coughlin was speaking out against Bolshevism. And he was identifying the sources that were behind Bolshevism. And in fact, initially, Father Coughlin himself was actually somewhat critical of Adolf Hitler. But all of a sudden, Father Coughlin began to realize the same people who were attacking him were the same people who were attacking Adolf Hitler. And now Jim Mars refers to Father Coughlin as a right-wing demagogue. He also refers, in that same fashion, I believe in that same paragraph, to the late Gerald L.K. Smith, who was a Protestant fundamentalist minister, who again found that he was being attacked by the same people who were being attacked by Adolf Hitler. And despite their theological differences, Father Coughlin and Gerald L.K. Smith did, in fact, work together for a period. Also, Jim Mars attacks the late aviator Charles A. Lindbergh. Charles A. Lindbergh, who became a leading spokesman for the America First Committee, fighting against unnecessary U.S. involvement in the war in Europe that ultimately turned into what we know today as World War II. Jim Mars doesn't like Charles Lindbergh. He doesn't like Gerald L.K. Smith, and he doesn't like Charles Coughlin. Well, you know, I'm here to tell you, folks, I like those guys. I admire those guys. They were good men. Good patriotic Americans. Actually, Father Coughlin was Canadian-born, but needless to say, these were good men. And when Jim Mars draws the line in the sand and puts Gerald L.K. Smith and Charles Coughlin and Mr. Lindbergh, Colonel Lindbergh, on the other side of the line, I'm here to tell you, I'm on the other side of the line with those guys, which means to me that Jim Mars and I are not on the same page. I hear people say, well, you guys are both looking for the truth. You just have different interpretations. Well, no, folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm on the other side. I'm on the side of Coughlin and Lindbergh and Gerald L.K. Smith. So I think we have to draw the lines and decide which side are we on. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-sitosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. I don't know if I made my point. I probably said it about as quickly and as clearly as I could. But I guess what it comes down to is that there are a lot of people out there who want to believe that everything's a conspiracy and nothing is as it seems. Well, I don't believe that. There are a lot of conspiracies out there, and there are a lot of things that are taking place that have the appearance of a conspiracy. Of course, I don't believe 9-1-1 was the act of a bunch of crazy Muslims. Muslims or crazy Muslims, however you want to define them. I think it was a Jewish operation. I think it was an Israeli operation. Said that from the beginning. Never tried to cover it up as Eric Huffschmidt and Christopher Bland has suggested. God almighty. Okay, we have quite a few callers here. I'm just going to go directly to the phones without further ado. Our first caller, we're going to go to Quebec with Dave. Dave in Quebec.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm fine, yeah.
All right. Well. Hey, hold on, Dave. If my producer could turn up the volume a little bit, that might help.
This is better.
Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Okay, great. I have some news items to talk to you about. Did you hear that Robert Faurisson was invited by French humorist Dieudonné in a theater at the Zénith in Paris? Faurisson was acclaimed by about 5,000 people there. I think that's never seen before.
Yes, I heard something about that, and I've heard of that. The guy you're referring to, the French humorist, he's been catching a lot of hell over the past few years. They're accusing him of being anti-Jewish, I believe.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, for long years he said quite a few things that are quite anti-Jewish or mostly anti-Zionist. Yeah, so it's actually like a big bomb that he blew by doing this, by inviting Robert Faurisson, who got acclaimed by 5,000 people. The Jewish group in France are just panicked.
As they should be, because more and more people are going to hear more and more truth.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very scary for them. More and more people are talking about Faurisson and the revisionism. And that might actually explain why Mark Weber started to sabotage recently the revisionist movement by writing an article in which he was kind of saying revisionism has no role in the fight against Zionism today. And, well, actually, that's quite the reverse of what Robert Faurisson is saying.
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Incidentally, is this the person that sent me that information?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, okay. It just clicked in my mind. All right. What, good to talk to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. That material about Mark Weber now saying that Holocaust revisionism is dead. A lot of people are talking about that. And, you know, the funny thing is, back when the Institute for Historical Review was taken over, Willis Cardo told anybody who would listen that it was a conspiracy, that it was a determined effort to silence Holocaust revisionism, and people said, oh, you know, that's not true. That's just Willis Cardo trying to cover up his own crimes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll just say this much, that if Willis was guilty of everything that Mark Weber said he was guilty of, that does not erase the fact that Mark Weber has taken the IHR, the Institute for Historical Review, down the tubes, has destroyed it as an effective organization, and now has effectively lent his support to the very people who want to erase Holocaust revisionism from the Internet and from the very fact of its existence at all. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. I had heard something about that, but I didn't realize that the French comedian was the person involved in that.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's good news for the movement.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and these organizations are upset about it. Should be upset about it. I think it's a great victory.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that. That's a good man, ladies and gentlemen. I've had some correspondence with him. Didn't realize until he was on the phone here that's who it was. All right. Well, we have another Dave in Illinois. Dave from Illinois.
Hi there. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good. I was calling. I caught the tail end of your show yesterday with this Aryan fellow that called.
Yeah.
And I guess I've got a couple of quick comments. Number one, he mentioned Pakistan. And the thing is, even though Pakistan's a Muslim country, they have done absolutely nothing to threaten Israel's interests. Now, if they were to do so, I can tell you right now, we wouldn't be given a aid or assistance in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Dave. And, you know, I thought about it after the show. It also occurred to me that the fact is that the government of Pakistan that we have been propping up has been a more secular government that's had its troubles with its internal Islamic elements. So in effect, what we have been doing is propping up a government that is considered by Israel, certainly, to be less of a threat to Israel. And you know, as I pointed out, too, in talking fruitlessly with Aryan, you know, the fact is that Israel itself, at one point or another, propped up both the government of Saddam Hussein and or the government of Iran at the time when Iran and Iraq were fighting. So Israel itself has a history of working both sides of the aisle. So, you know, I said that one of the last things I said to Aryan last night was, basically telling him he's not a very effective advocate for his cause, and I'm sure the Anti-Defamation League is embarrassed when he calls this program because they know he's not an effective advocate for their cause. So I wish somebody from the Anti-Defamation League would call in here and say, hey, I'm from the Anti-Defamation League, and I'm here to tell you why you're wrong. But, of course, they're not going to do that. So I'm kind of in this position where I just have to take what I get.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, I mean, the other thing that I've resorted to is sometimes when I debate with people, like you did last night, is I rely on Jewish sources so that they can't call you an anti-Semite. I'm like, hey, this is the Jews saying this about other Jews. I mean, you have a book like Jewish Power by J.J. Goldberg. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of books out there that are documenting, you know, their influence and their power over our government. But the second point I wanted to make was we never gave Egypt any foreign aid until the creation of the State of Israel. Egypt was its number one nemesis for the longest time. Now, Egypt is the second largest recipient of our foreign aid budget, and that's to make nice with Israel.
That's exactly right.
So these are just some other things. And I guess the final point I wanted to make was about Osama bin Laden, who, as much as he is at odds with Israel, he never seems to launch any terrorist attacks inside of Israel. It always seems to be American targets. I just find that odd. Maybe that's an
explanation. Isn't that interesting? Exactly. Exactly.
Very much so, yeah. So I don't know if anyone else has thought about that, but, you know, there's been rumors, I don't know if it's conspiracy or what, that says, you know, he's really an asset of the Mossad.
Well, you know, Dave, that's very, very interesting because I just had a conversation with a neighbor of mine yesterday about Osama bin Laden, and there's a one little point about all those Islamic groups that worked with the CIA in the battle against the Soviets in Afghanistan and generally in the Middle East. And that is this point that Victor Ostrovsky underscored in one of his books. I think it was in the book, The Other Side of Deception. And that's this point that it may have been in the first book. I'm not sure. But in any case, Victor Ostrovsky made it very, very clear that while the United States was actually putting up the money for these Islamic groups that were fighting against the Soviets, it was, in fact, Israel's Mossad that was on the scene, on the ground, running these operations. Mm-hmm. So effectively, for many, many years, and I'm not saying these groups were tools of the Mossad, because they obviously have their own agenda, but the fact is they were working with the Mossad, and those kind of relationships were forged in the 1970s and in the 1980s, and inevitably, I think it's safe to conclude that those relationships continued in one form or another, with a lot of times even these Islamic groups not even realizing that they were being utilized by the Mossad. So you know, these are these funny little facts that Aryan wants to avoid, and, you know, he may not even be aware of them. You know, Aryan, I gather that Aryan is kind of coming at it from an emotional standpoint. He says he's not Jewish. I accept his word on that. But
well, I think
go ahead.
Is. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt. He seemed to be somewhat, I mean, he wasn't a jerk. I got to hand that to him. But there was a little emotion, and it seemed like it was almost like harassment. He didn't really have any facts. It was just he kept quibbling about, you know, itty-bitty details that just didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and he kept saying that I was saying that there was a Jewish conspiracy. No, it's not a conspiracy. It's wide open. I mean, you know, I was quoting the former speaker of the Israeli Knesset, Avraham Berg. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I could go on and on. I don't need to tell you this, you know, but that's why I really just can't, if Aryan is going to continue to take that approach, I just can't waste the time on this program, wasting the time on this program.
Well, I'll tell you what, you extended a courtesy to him that the ADL would never extend to us. If we wanted to debate with them, oh, they would never, ever allow us in their facilities, on their talk shows, and nothing.
Exactly. I've told this story in the air. I'll tell it again in the 50 Cent version. When I ran into Abe Foxman here on Capitol Hill one time, he wouldn't even admit to me that he was Abe Foxman. This is a guy who feels comfortable calling press conferences and issuing press releases and denouncing everybody and his brother. But when he doesn't have the podium, when he's not surrounded by a raft of bodyguards, some inoffensive-looking little guy like me comes up to him in the street, and he won't even admit that he's Abe Foxman. That tells you everything right there.
Oh, it sure does.
All right, Dave, thanks for a very good call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go to Andrew in Ohio.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Andrew. What's going on?
I just want to start off by saying I'm on the same side with you and Father Coughlin and Willis Cardo, Charles Lindbergh, all the good people and the people that promote Jim Marr's work and his nonsense, I'm not on their side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I say, there are people who want to say that, well, you know, Jim Marrs is on our side and he's bringing out these facts about conspiracies and so forth. But, you know, I was looking at Jim's book, you know, and, you know, it's funny. I told somebody I know that knows Jim Marrs. I said, you know, next time you talk to Jim Marrs, tell him that I think he seems like a pretty nice guy, which every time I've ever seen or heard Jim Marrs, he seems like a nice guy. My problem with Jim Marrs is that I kind of get the feeling that what he does, and if you really analyze what he's written over the years in this realm of conspiracy, what he does is he takes all the conspiracy theories about every different power group and just throws them into the mixing bowl and stirs it up and bakes a cake out of it. And a lot of this stuff is internally inconsistent. I would like to think that I'm consistent. In fact, both my friends and my enemies have said about me, well, at least he's consistent, and I like to think that I am. But Jim Marrs is inconsistent, and when I see him attacking Charles Coughlin and Charles Lindbergh and Gerald L. K. Smith, I have to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I have to put the brake on and say, wait a minute. Is this guy on my side or is he on the other side? Because I would be proud, pleased as punch, as the late Hubert Humphrey used to say, to have been able to meet Father Coughlin or Charles Lindbergh or Gerald L. K. Smith.
And as far as Arian in California, he over in his part of the world where he says he descends from India, obviously the guy's not Muslim. And in India, you got the conflict between the Hindus and the Muslims. And so obviously his interests are parallel with the Jews who are illegally occupying Palestine, because the Hindus, they don't like the Muslims at all, so I'm sure they just love it.
There are some Christians over in India too, and I forget. I don't know if Arian ever told us whether he was a Christian or a Hindu or perhaps some other sect over there, and I use that term sect very loosely without offense to anybody intended. But yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, right now you do have a very, very strong alliance between the Indian American lobby and the Israeli lobby. I wrote a whole chapter about that in my book, The Golem. So this is a geopolitical factor in the bigger picture that we have to keep in mind. In fact, I think it's something we might want to keep in mind as we hear the constant promotion of Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal for the 2012 or the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. You know, he's a pretty smart guy, apparently, a very accomplished young guy, but he's getting an inordinate amount of publicity, and I think that might be one of the reasons for it. So that's just a throwaway comment there.
And just to touch on one more quick thing, you were talking about Dave in Massachusetts being in Ohio. That's, you know, where I'm at. I'm in Cincinnati, and he says in southeastern Ohio, that's the best part of the state. But I was even thinking about it before he even called in last night. I was thinking, you know, Dave's a real colorful character. You know, he's real entertaining. And then you said to him, you must be real exotic out there in Ohio. And, he is a real colorful character, but he's out in I'm in southwestern Ohio. He said, I remember him saying he's in southeastern Ohio, and that's my favorite part of the state. And he'd be a real fun guy to have around.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to meeting Dave someday.
Well, are you going to have the American Free Press Conference this year?
You know, that's a very good question. We are talking about it. It all depends on the money. Those conferences, they cost a lot of money, and the amount of money they actually bring in sometimes doesn't quite cover the cost. But they're important in the sense that they get a lot of people together, you know, and let people meet other people of like mind. And we want to have the conference, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, hopefully next time you have one, we can all get together, the listeners and callers of this show, and we'll get together and have dinner or something like that.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay, Mike, keep cutting through
the
BS.
All right, Andrew, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
All right, let's see. We are going to the break in just a moment, but I'm going to go ahead and bring up our last caller here on the board for the moment, at any rate, and I think we'll hold him over if necessary. I'm sure it'll be necessary. That's John in California. John, come on up.
Hi, Mike. Happy Friday.
I hope so.
Hey, I heard what you said. You made your point about conspiracy. I think you have. Look, I just happened while I was listening. I happened to look up in the dictionary. It said they conspire. There's many, but basically it's a plot by people. And then you look at theory, it's a supposition to explain something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what all these things going on, some of them, you talk about conspiracies like, say, the Bilderbergs or CFR that meet behind, you know, closed doors that we pay for with our taxes to protect them so nobody will find out. You know, you might
right.
say that's a conspiracy because nobody will report what they're saying.
Right, exactly.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other stuff like, you know.
Yeah, hey, John, hold your thought. We are going to the break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, got in all the callers tonight. Amazing. I guess I didn't talk too much. Stay tuned.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-sitosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. We have John in California. John was making a couple points here. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that, conspiracy, you know, people that, you know, hide behind things, you could say that. But I also said, like, people who write about them, Jim Mars, a lot of other people, I think whatever way it is, Mike, if you can sell books and make a living out of it, no matter what, people buy the book, it's going to be out there no matter what they say.
I mean, that's true. And, there's the conspiracies are out there,
But the problem is that if you just kind of make everything as a conspiracy and really don't outline exactly who is behind it and what they're doing, or avoid key elements of the quote-unquote conspiracy, such as the very big role that Jews have played acting as Jews, then if you're not going to talk about that, then you really aren't giving a complete picture of things.
Exactly. And one of the examples is, you listen to the, when I can't read American Free Press or the Barnes or anything like that, I have to, you know, drive the car. I've got to listen to the talk shows, either conservative or liberal, Air America or Rush, whatever. If you want to make a statement about, even if you don't mention Zionists, Jews, Israel, Israeli lobby, they think they cut you off and, oh, it's a conspiracy theory.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it's ridiculous. But I'll tell you, one of the biggest, it's funny, one of the biggest conspiracies you would talk about, a while back, American Free Press had an article at Anti-Defamation League listed all the anti-Semites.
Technically, that wasn't the Anti-Defamation League listing them all, but it was somebody who apparently did an internet research, an internet search, and found all of the different groups that have been accused at one time or another. So, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the world.
Well, what I call a conspiracy, Ariel Sharon.
yeah, exactly.
where did they come up with that? There was a few others I can't think off the top of my head. Would you think about that? What? You know, something is there's a conspiracy there.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it just makes, yeah, people, you got to think through all that. I think it's some, whether they use that to muddy the waters and cover up things or just their own thoughts. You got to think through that, Mike. You're right.
Yeah, it's so easy for people to just assume that everything is a conspiracy, that nothing is as we are told it is, and you know, it's, you know, and I guess it makes things simpler for people, but you know, you do have to think a little bit, and unfortunately, people like Jim Mars put out these books that everything is a conspiracy. The Rothschilds were behind Hitler, he says. Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, you know.
It's like I said, Mike, if people believe it and buy the book, it will continue till finally somebody says, no, they don't buy them, and, you know, they either change it or come to the, you know, seek the truth out.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're up against. Well, thank God there are people out there like you, John, who can sit back and think about things, and that's, you know, that's what I realize. If I have any mission on this program, it's to try to make people think.
Well, thank God for people like you, Mike.
All right, appreciate that.
Have a good
All
weekend.
Right, thanks for the call, John. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. We'll be here Monday night, God willing. Stay tuned for more good programming with Rick Adams.
Hello, my name is...